Welcome to the SpinAxis podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
Today we're going to talk about the five causes of an overswing. 99.8% of golfers have a bit of what I would call an overswing. I've lengthened in my lifetime two or three backswings. There's a little bit of nuance in that because what I mean by lengthened is I increase people's turns all the time. When I say I've increased two or three people's backswings, I mean how far the club travels, because you can make people turn more, but reduce the distance the club travels relative to like horizontal or parallel to the ground at the top of the backswing.
Yep.
Modern golf swings do not get to parallel very often. I think you guys would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very far.
But we see lessons from people all the time where they're past parallel.
Yes, every day.
They're not competing on the long drive tour or named John Daly or John Daly Jr. Anyway, I had a Twitter thread where I put up a lot of pictures. Some of those will be the chapter art for this podcast. You can read a lot of my thoughts there. I'm going to kind of play MC a little bit today and let you guys talk about it. The first one, the number one thing, the biggest thing, I think, the rest are debatable order, I think, for everyone. But the number one thing I think we might all agree on, you're free to disagree if you do, but trail elbow bend, which also goes along with arm lowering or the trail humerus lowering toward the shirt seam. We see a lot of people that bend their trail elbow well past 90 degrees. And for the purposes of this conversation, if I say trail elbow bend of 60 degrees, that would be a 120 degree angle between your forearm and your upper arm. It's bent from straight 60 degrees. Most people bend it past 90 degrees.
Yep.
So the actual angle would be 60, 70, 80 degrees, but they've bent it from 180 degrees to that. So you guys see that all the time, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with this one because this one's near and dear to my own heart as someone that does this. What you're talking about, for even to break it down more into layman's terms, if someone basically just like holds their right arm out, so your right arm is 90 degrees, if you take your fist and basically touch your shoulder, that's what Eric's talking about, bending too much, right? You don't want your hand to get to your shoulder. So when I watched my golf swing, when I started going into, all right, I want to be a better golfer, and I looked at the swing and I was like, gosh, that is ridiculous. Why is my swing so long? Well, my right arm would constantly bend too much. And I've been struggling with that for years. Now, I obviously have some limitations inside, like my shoulder's messed up. So some of that is like, I got to build strength, mobility into the shoulder capsule, my lat, you know, my chest. So when people are struggling with this, you always want to make sure that it isn't a physical limitation. But absolutely, if it isn't, there's no reason that your arm needs to bend this much. The hard part with golf, like all things, is you don't see your arms once they're through your first little bit of your takeaway. And your brain goes, okay, well, I want to make a big, powerful swing. And this feels like a longer swing when you just collapse the trail arm, but it just puts you behind the eight ball, which is obviously what this whole episode is going to be on. So people, you need to videotape your swing. If you're struggling with it and you videotape your swing and you notice that your club is well behind your head, your hands are behind your head at the top of your backswing, and your right arm is massively bent from face on, yeah, this is what we're talking about. We need to get that trail arm much straighter, which is going to feel shorter, but it's going to be better in the long run. Tyson?
Yeah, and I think
it's going to feel a lot shorter.
It's going to feel crazy short, and everyone's just always blown away by when you make them actually do this and you show them on video how far it actually still goes, how far the arms go, how far the club goes. They never believe it, right? They look at the video in awe of how far it actually moves.
They say, I kept my arm straight that time.
That's exactly, yeah, right.
100%.
Yeah. And it's still and bent, it's not even, you close, know, 60 yeah, degrees, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
But Eric, obviously, I think so many people, this whole list, I think it's an amazing topic for us to talk about. I think everybody's responding to the center mass of the club, right? And this list is sort of geared around that. When you look at, when you measure it on gears and you look at the average tour player's right arm bend or trail arm bend, let's just say for the sake of the episode.
Yeah, it's about 80 degrees is the average.
Okay, it's about 80 degrees. And, you know, golfers every day are just bending that way more. And when you get somebody to actually only bend it about 80 degrees, they really truly feel like it's perfectly straight, right?
They often do, yeah. It's pretty crazy how little you need to use your arms in the backswing.
100%. And again, I think we can almost piece all of these, this list that you have, like it's a sort of a domino effect of things that end up happening, and it might spit out a little bit differently from player to player. Trail elbow bend is a big one for players. And I, early on when we started doing this podcast, you know, the tube that you use, like it was a great sort of tool for me to just get people to sort of understand how little they need to bend that arm. And I've used it a lot.
Yeah, I use it for 3 swings only.
Yeah.
I record the first one down the line, the second one down the line, or face on, and the third one I say, the fourth swing needs to look like you have the tube on your arm, but it's a freebie. And that's it. I use it as a proof of concept, because if they don't bend their arm much, they still bend their arm in the tube 65 degrees. Okay, let's be, unless, and that's without trying to like actually bend it much. It's just, there's a little bit of wiggle room. Plus also the tube is a little flexible. They'll still bend it 65 degrees, which is about where they almost should be, right? It's not that far off from where they should be when they make an actual golf swing without a tube on their arm. And it makes them turn, because otherwise they take the club back to just above waist high. If they make a short backswing and lift their arms a little bit, that's all. Yep. They take it back. So they realize, oh, I've got to actually turn my chest now. So I've seen crazy backswing turns, but the club is 45 degrees above horizontal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, awesome, great. Now we can dial that back a little bit. You can bend your arm a little tiny bit more than that. But they, almost nobody I've said, oh, you need to bend your elbow more. Literally 2 people ever.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't had one yet.
These often bleed together, right? So yeah. 1, 3, and 4 are very tied together. And we'll get to 3 and 4 in a second, but we're going to go on to number 2.
Yep.
Which is, a lot of people, girls especially, Tyson and I especially work with a lot of juniors, girls especially, but juniors and people in general, turn their pelvis too much.
Big time. Big time. I just had a player, she's going to play college golf, came down for an initial evaluation. After watching her hit some balls pretty quickly, she's turning her hips about 65 to 70 degrees in the backswing. And
you measure that on Sportsbox?
I measured that on Sportsbox. Yep.
Because I measured on Gears, of course.
Yep, correct.
But it's really tough to measure, quote unquote, measure on a camera.
Yep.
Hip turn, pelvis turn.
It's, you know, it was one of those things where you could visually see it pretty easily for me as the coach, right? I could see her. She's just, everything's just winding. Her club's at P2 and she's already got 40 degrees of hip turn, right?
And yeah, you exist in 3D, so
correct.
You can see it.
And so I sort of asked her some questions as she hit, you know, balls for 10, 15 minutes. And I said, you know, what have you been working on? She's like, well, every coach I've ever worked with tells me I need to turn more. And I said, well, congratulations, you're doing it, right? Like, you're doing it. So she was literally creating no stretch between her lower body and upper body. Guess what ended up happening towards the top of the backswing? Her trail elbow starts to bend more because the center of mass of the club so far behind her that her brain's saying, I need to get this club up in the air. And she's started doing that by bending the trail arm too much. And to get her to turn her hips 45 degrees, you know, somewhere around that number, she literally said, this feels like I'm not doing anything. Yeah. In her words, yep. She's like, my body is doing nothing as I'm doing this. And I said, well, that's what we need to feel for a while.
Thread between the first two elements so far.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
nothing.
Right. So
do nothing.
Yeah. The golf swing is easier.
Do nothing.
Don't bend your elbow. Don't turn your pelvis.
Yep. So Jason, what do you see in the online lesson space that you do? I mean, I'm sure you see a lot of players who do the same thing.
Yeah, I have, I mean, between 6 and 12 juniors is sort of what I work with. And probably 80% of them are the same thing, right? They just keep turning, constantly turning till they can't turn anymore. And then they unwind from there. Most of them, it goes, yeah, it's from the lower body to begin with. Right now, I don't measure those guys, you know, off of other videos, because the camera angles are often not, you know, bang on.
Yeah.
I've tried it in the past from Sportsbox, but it's just not. It's not good enough, so I don't use it. But I mean, you can generally see the whole pelvis is basically back at the camera. You're over rotated. Let's stop with like that. So some of them are that. Some of them is like, don't feel like you're opening your hips whatsoever. Again, you're always just trying to find a feel that allows them to hit the golf shot. Some of them, I get them to kick their right foot or their trail foot further forward, so it limits how much they can turn into that, just to get a feel of some resistance. And now obviously in time I don't want them to like be like that when they're hitting golf shots, but it just gives them a sensation of like, okay, this is me resisting into the turn. And all you're trying to do again is go, all right, most of you are so flexible with the upper body, let's keep the lower body somewhere between 40 and 45 degrees. And then from there it's just like, okay, well then just coil around your upper body.
Yeah, two of the biggest things I think that can help with this, if you're looking to do this, your trail knee and lead knee shouldn't change flex as much as they do. If you extend your trail knee and bend your lead knee more than they should, which is not much. It's different for everybody depending on how much you start with, but scissoring those knees, right, making them kind of go apart from each other very quickly in the backswing leads to a lot of pelvis turn. And I've started squaring up people's trail foot a little bit more.
Yeah.
And turning out their lead foot a little bit more, because then you get more internal rotation in the trail hip, which limits you a little bit, and more external rotation in the lead hip during the backswing, which limits you a little bit. And so some limits can be a good thing if they keep you in a good range. What we find from all of these things is if you go past, too far past, like let's say you have a 100% is your total range of motion. The human body tends to work fastest when it's in the middle, let's say 60%, when it's going from 80 to 20%, right? The outer 20% on each side tend to be slow and weak. You don't see baseball players, you know, bending their right arm a ton if they're right-handed throwers. You see them keeping that a little bit wider. You don't see a lot of people overdoing a range of motion because to make a jump, to jump as high as you could. You wouldn't lower as low as you can, right? So your butt's almost touching the ground before you jump up. You go down a certain amount and then you go back up. You don't go as far down as you can go. It's actually weaker to drop all the way to there and then try to jump from there. That's a commonality of all these as well. Number three was the people, we can do this a little bit more quickly, but the people that roll it inside so the club doesn't get any height early. And so at the end of the backswing, they have to just lift it and hoist it up. Okay. So they roll it and then they lift it late.
Nine out of 10 lessons. This is literally
11 out of 10 lessons.
This is every golfer right here. They roll it in and lift it up. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Again, throw me in that bucket for the longest time. I feel like I'm making the biggest outside, shoving my hands directly from my body, like lifting my arms. And you watch it. Again, this is why golf's hard, because you got to change the habit of your pattern. Constantly stopping, just turning your body. If you only turn your body, your hands are going to stay too low, too long. Then the mass of the club is back and underneath you, and then you're going to lift it up late. Well, if you start lifting up late, now the energy is starting to go the other way, and it goes around your head. Again, your arms have mass, right? They have weight. The club has weight. And if you lift that late, it's going to go around with the energy of your body starting to turn. You want to counter that.
It's got momentum, right? Yeah,
exactly. It's like
if your arms go up and down, the body's responsible for moving stuff around you.
Bang on. Yeah. So if you imagine, like, if you're anybody that cuts your lawn, if you're lawn mowing, right, and you fold that trail arm, this goes into what Eric was talking about at the beginning with, like, the trail arm basically bending or not lifting. If you do that early, well, at some point you need to do it to get the club up. Well, you're going to do it late. That's the opposite of what you want to do in the golf swing.
Yeah. And for the listeners, right, the center mass of the golf club, right, it's just the balance point, you know, 10 to 14 inches up above the hosel on your shaft. And I think, you know, that's what we feel as the golfer. And our brain is going to respond to how that center mass is moving. And in that early takeaway, when you roll that thing inside, that center mass of the club gets behind you so quickly, your brain knows your objective is to get that thing up in the air. And it's going to find a way. And typically it's going to be bend the trail elbow too much, hinge the wrist too late, and once that keep turning
because it takes more time,
it just then is a snowball where you can't put the brakes on to that motion soon enough to stop the club before it ends up into an overswing. This is, again, it's the classic. It's literally 9 out of 10 golfers every day who are doing this. And, you know, a lot of times if we can adjust their setup and make them better from P1 to P2, you start to see some of those other things clean up because their brain and their body can react to now what that club is doing.
Yeah. If you ever want to test it, just grab two clubs, like your 7-iron, your 8-iron, hold them together, and then make a little backswing. And if you can't control the mass of your club at the top of your backswing, it's not in a good place going back. Because if you grab two clubs, rip it to the inside, and then lift it late, you're going to feel like you can't control the club anymore. Versus if you get it going up on a good plane going back, it's like, oh, it just sort of feels like it stops roughly at the top, and then you can redirect it coming back down.
Yeah, and you could also do one-handed swings too.
Love both of those.
Similar thing where you have half the ability to control it. The fourth one here seems contradictory because a lot of these are about creating more width in the backswing, right? If your trail elbow bends too much, your hands are very close to your shoulders, and we want to get that wider, more away from you. But a wide takeaway can often be bad because what we see is people that don't hinge their wrists and they don't bend their elbow until like halfway back almost, or almost up to P3 or left arm parallel, then everything comes crashing. late, right? Everything comes, because the club hasn't gone back far enough.
Yes.
So that everything just bends and goes super late.
Yeah. And I think for the longest time, right, the one piece takeaway, you know, was really, really heavily talked about. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I will tell people sometimes to feel that if I see some crazy things going on, but I think it was almost overtaught. And so people then try to just make that thing as wide as possible. So if you're a right-handed golfer and you reach the club halfway back in your backswing, if you take your left wrist and you hinge your wrist down towards the floor, that's what we would call honor deviation, right? And what you'll see with players who try to keep the club as wide as possible is that lead wrist, and it's obviously going to affect the trail wrist, is going to be actually angled down towards the floor. That would be underloaded. And as Eric was just saying, now your brain is saying, I got to get this thing vertical. And you're going to do that by bending the trail elbow, lifting, maybe tilting your spine, all these pieces that will lift the club up in the air, tilting your spine towards a target, by the way. And it's then it's just crash at the top. And, you know, good players keep their arm wide, but they're hinging their wrist much earlier. So the club would be a little bit more narrow towards their body versus that amateur golfer who's keeping all that in that one piece. Jason, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you might as well throw in low and slow in there too, but
100%.
It's like,
yes,
it's like, you know, keep your head down. It's like all these sayings that people just, you know, verbal diarrhea to golfer are terrible. But like you just said, there's also that one guy where it's like, you might need this feel, but for most of you, just stop. Those are just terrible.
Yeah. It's very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why golf, though, is hard, because we said you want to feel like you keep your right arm straight, your trail arm straight in number one.
Yes.
And in number four, we're saying you have to bend your right arm at the right time in the backswing.
Yeah.
Because if you keep it straight for too long, it's going to bend at some point. And if it bends with velocity late, it's going the wrong direction. It's going back when you want to start swinging down. And so bending at the right time can often lead to, you know, the old Nick Faldo drill where he would set his wrist and then just kind of transport that to the top.
Yes.
That can be a good, it's a decent drill. I don't love that many drills, but it's a decent idea of like, look, if you hinge your wrist a lot early,
that's right,
you don't have to do anything anymore, right? You can, so set it a little bit earlier and then it doesn't have to have the velocity of bending and hinging late in the backswing.
Yep.
Number five, I don't think we see that often anymore. I think people with the advent of video cameras, I think this one's gone away a little bit.
Yeah.
I called it sway and tilt. It's where you see the pelvis go back a bunch. Oftentimes the head goes forward a little bit toward the target.
Yep.
So they get a bunch of reverse axis tilt. Doing that points your chest a lot to the sky. So even if you don't lift your arms much, the club and arms they travel around you quite a bit. So these people actually often lower their arms the most, because otherwise the arms would be vertical. Like the arms would be pointing straight up into the sky because they've added 15 degrees of chest tilt toward the sky above horizontal. And I find that oftentimes you can get these people, they almost have to feel like their chest goes back and their pelvis goes forward. I don't actually want that to happen during the golf swing much at all, but they often have to feel like their chest points down to the ground during the backswing behind them, away from the target. How often do you see these players?
I get a fair amount of them. Obviously, you get the same it's usually the same people. It's the guys that are trying to swing really, really hard. So they're overextending everything, right? Trying to get really, really tall. And to your, you know, point there is like, I'm like, yeah, I want you to feel like you're trying to get your chest down towards your like trail foot. Right. And they're like, whoa, but then I can't make a full turn. You're making more than a full turn right now. It's putting you in a bad spot. So yes, we need to limit some of that.
Yeah. And to be clear, Jason Zubak's swing is kind of like this.
Yep.
But he was hitting a ball off the tee.
Yep.
And, you know, by using the extension and flexion of his whole body, he was able to generate some speed. It doesn't work as well with a 7-iron with a 60-year-old golfer off the ground.
No, it doesn't. No. And yeah, I do see it quite often, honestly. And maybe I would agree with you, Eric. I do think that it's better. Maybe what I see is not as much as I used to see as far as the amounts they're swaying and tilting.
Okay.
But yeah, I honestly, I'll sort of explain it to him. Like when we bend over to the golf ball, we're in forward bend, right? I want you to stay in that forward bend to the top of your backswing, which is going to look sort of like an old man swing that can't extend anymore. Their head does sway to the right.
Yes.
And then it sways back to the left because they can't stand up anymore.
Yep.
Like that's what I need you to feel for the time being. And to your point, when you do that, you can't lift your arms as much, right? Because your chest is down towards the ground.
No, your chest doesn't lift your arms as much. It makes you lift your arms more, which is a good thing.
Correct. And everyone feels like it's tight, It's restricting. Yes, that's exactly what I want you to feel right now.
Yeah, there's your feel.
That's right. Yeah, again, I think that's an amazing list. And I think for people who are listening to this, I think it's if you can identify one or two of those things, you're going to dramatically improve the contact, the ball flight, all the things within your golf swing.
Yeah. And look at the chapter art and look at the, you can click the links and see more pictures in the Twitter thread.
It's a great thread
as well. We're still calling it Twitter
forever.
That's right.
Where can people find us on Twitter?
You can find us at The Spin Access, all social medias at The Spin Access, and you can find us online at thespinaccess.com and listen back to all our old episodes.
Thanks for listening.